السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكثر خطايا ابن آدم في لسانه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, it is our belief that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the originator and the source of all blessings, all boons, all favors, and all bounties. Allah's favors upon us, as we know, are innumerable. We cannot even begin to count. The famous Quranic verse in this regard, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. With regards to just one bounty, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that there are so many other bounties associated with every one bounty that I give you, that even when it comes to one bounty of mine, you cannot begin to imagine, let alone understand, let alone enumerate and list or count the associated bounties of Allah that are attached to just one bounty which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has conferred upon us. For example, if we look just as at the human body, this one gift that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us, there are so many bounties, there are so many limbs and organs that are part of this body, that for centuries and for thousands of years, science has progressed, but they have never reached that pinnacle, they have never reached the height of understanding the full extent of this bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So amongst the many bounties which Allah has conferred upon us, this body which Allah has given us is among the greater bounties, the greater favors of Allah. And that's why in another verse of the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. That look at yourself, look at your physical makeup. There's so much of recognition of Allah just within the human body. There's so much that you can learn about the power, the wisdom, the knowledge of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the creative ability of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the system of Allah, just by looking at the human body. Now the human body comprises many parts. They are the internal organs, they are the external limbs. And these are critical in terms of bounties from Allah, but also in terms of accountability. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has said, the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Each one of you is a shepherd, and each one of you will be responsible with regards to his or her flock. We generally quote that hadith with regards parents and them being responsible for their children, leaders being responsible for their congregation. But Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that it also applies in the context that you are the shepherd of the different parts and limbs of your body. And how you utilize them, for that you will be held accountable before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. He quotes a verse of the Quran where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. That Jahannam has seven doors. And Imam Ghazali gives the explanation. He says, each one of the major seven limbs or parts of the body, which are the eye, the ear, the tongue, the stomach, the private part, the hands and the feet, each one of these seven are an independent potential road and pathway towards the fire of Jahannam. If you abuse or mismanage any one of these, it could lead to you being a victim of those consequences, of suffering the punishment in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us. The verse which I quoted in my introduction, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala warns us that these limbs may be part of your body, but on the day of Qiyamah, they will testify against you. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. On that day, a person's tongue, a person's hands, a person's feet will testify against that person. Not even that, even a person's skin will testify on the day of Qiyamah. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. And on that day, the person will say to the different parts of his body, that why are you testifying against me? And the response would be, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah, which has granted speech to everything else, today Allah has enabled us to speak, we can only speak but the truth. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, that these limbs, they have the potential to secure you great benefit, but they also have the potential to land you into a great degree of trouble. Now, it's not possible for us in this short space of time to talk on all of those seven that I have just mentioned, the eye, the ear, the tongue, the stomach, the private part, the hand and the foot. Nor is it possible for us to talk about the body in its entirety and the different bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that is associated with the human body. But for this afternoon, I just want to focus a few points with regards to the tongue, which is perhaps the most important of all those seven in terms of management and in terms of regulation. In Bidayatul Hidayah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi explains, he talks about each one of the seven, and I'm just talking now specifically about the tongue. He says, for what has Allah granted you a tongue? What are the primary reasons, the primary purposes for which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed you with a tongue? لِتُكْثِرَ بِهِ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So that you can verbalize your remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَتُرْشِدَ بِهِ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَىٰ طَرِيقِهِ. To guide other people towards Allah. وَتُظْهِرَ بِهِ مَا فِي ضَمِيرِكَ مِنْ حَاجَاتِ دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ. And also you use your tongue to express to Allah what are your needs pertaining to this world, and also what are your spiritual needs. These are some of the primary usages of a tongue. It is so powerful that that one movement of a tongue, a man may have lived 60 or 70 years committing the ultimate sin, the biggest form of sin, which is associating partners with Allah. A person may have lived his life for 60 or 70 years in shirk, but one movement of the tongue, La ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and that person's entire life and existence that was spent in shirk is obliterated, and he now emerges free of sin, free of any responsibility, like the day his mother gave birth to him. But a person could live his life 60 or 70 years as a believer, performing salah 5 times a day, reciting Quran. Allah forbid, one incorrect movement of the tongue can jeopardize all of that. One movement of the tongue, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, that woman who was a strange woman unto you, she becomes your wife, she becomes your partner, she becomes your spouse, the mother to your children, your lifelong companion. But then again, you may have spent 40 years as husband and wife, one movement of the tongue and all those ties are severed. Like the day of your marriage, she was a stranger unto you, she may be the mother of your children, the grandmother of your grandchildren, but now she becomes a stranger unto you. That's the power of the tongue. And it rests with us in terms of how we manage it and how we regulate it. And that's why Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that one thing that will result in people being flung head first into the fire of Jahannam will be this one portion of the body, and that is the tongue. This one piece of flesh, which is, if left unregulated, unmanaged, if not disciplined, it could not only lead to a person being punished, but it could lead to a person being punished in the most severe forms. إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ فَيَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ السَّبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. One utterance of the tongue can lead to a person being thrown the distance of 70 years into the fire of Jahannam, or 70 trenches. And there are many other hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam along these lines. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, there was a sahabi who had passed on as a shaheed. He had made the ultimate sacrifice. He had given his life for the cause of deen. So some sahaba remarked and they said, Hani an lahul bil jannah, that congratulations to him and to his family, he's a jannati. So the Nabi of Allah said, but just hold a moment. Hold on for a moment. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ كَانَ يَتَكَلَّمْ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي. That how do you know, perhaps he used to use his tongue in that which was irrelevant. The Nabi of Allah didn't even say, perhaps he used to use his tongue to say that which was haram, impermissible, illegal. No, irrelevant, لَا يَعْنِي. That can compromise his reward as a shaheed. It can compromise. His reward is a martyr. The long and short of it is encapsulated in one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that if you give me the guarantee that you can control what is between your jaws and what is between your thighs, meaning you can control your tongue and you can control your sexual desire, I give you the guarantee that you will enter Jannah. It's as simple as that. But the management part of it, the regulation part of it, that's why it is mentioned that at times people would come to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and they would ask him very basic questions. Questions about salah, about wudu. And he was a giant of a jurist. And he would put his head down and he would reflect for a lengthy period of time before he would give an answer. Now, his students would feel embarrassed because, you know, students by nature, they brag. You know, there's no one like my teacher. My teacher is the best. So one day they went to him and they said, Ustad, you're putting us in a predicament. On the one hand, everyone assumes you're such a great jurist and such a great scholar. And then people come ask you basic questions and you take so much of time and we know that you know the answer. Why do you do this? He says, it's not about me knowing the answer. When the person poses the question, I start to interrogate myself that is it in my best interest to answer or not? Would Allah be pleased in my answering or will Allah be displeased with me answering? And then if I come to a conclusion that no, I should answer, then I interrogate myself further that what is the most pleasing way to Allah in which I can give my answer? So I know the answer, but it's about regulating the tongue. Now, it's well and good that we say that we need to control the tongue, we need to manage the tongue, we need to regulate the tongue. But how do we do so? What are some concrete steps that we can take? And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, in his Bidayatul Hidayah, which is actually a letter which he wrote as advice to his student, when his student sought advice from him, he said, if you can control your tongue when it comes to 8 things, then you will be considered a person who has disciplined his tongue. What are those 8? The first thing he says, protect your tongue against lying. We know there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the abhorrent nature of lying. But he says, listen, lying is not just a sin, it is the mother of all sins. Because when you utter a lie, when you utter an untruth, it opens up the doors to many other evils. Also, your reputation takes a knock. You hear people commenting sometimes, when he speaks, just give 50% discount. Because he's known to exaggerate. When that person speaks, put on your helmet because he's going to bounce you. So in the same way, he says, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in another place says, how do you recognize the abhorrent nature of your own weakness? Look at how it disgusts you when you see it in somebody else. When somebody else looks at you with a straight face and lies, how disgusted do you feel? Now apply the same principle to yourself and say, when I lie to others, if they don't know it then, when they've discovered it at a later time, imagine how they think about me and how they feel about me and how abhorrent it comes across. Then he says, the second thing, protect your tongue against making unnecessary promises and commitments. Only make a commitment if you reasonably feel that you can fulfill that commitment. Don't tell the man, I'll pay you by the end of the month, if you know you're never going to have the money by the end of the month. Rather, don't take the item, or rather be frank up front and say, look, I need 2 months, or I need 3 months. Because to make a commitment and then not to fulfill it intentionally, one is due to unforeseen circumstances, that is a sign of a munafiq. Ayatul munafiqi thalath. You use your tongue to make a commitment, to secure a deal, or to get yourself out of a particular situation, but you have absolutely no intention, or you know it's not realistic, or it's highly unlikely that you will be able to fulfill that commitment. Sometimes it's smaller, smaller things. We take it for granted. You tell the man, I'll be there at 5. But you know there's no way you're going to make it by 5. So why make a commitment? Why give that person a particular time? It's the misuse of a tongue. The third thing he says is abstain from making ghibat. We all know that backbiting is worse than committing zina because of the consequences of backbiting. But then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi explains something very pivotal. He says, we know backbiting is haram, so we try to sidestep it. What do? We try to backbite by insinuation so that we can soothe our conscience. So we don't openly say, you know, this man did that. We will use a phrase and say, Did you hear? Allah protect us. It can happen to us as well. Allah make it easy for him. So you make reference to something, you give an indication to something, and you quickly couple it with a dua to fool your nafs and to fool others into thinking that no, you're concerned about that man, but in reality you just wanted to divulge what happened to him. Because Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, if you were really concerned, why didn't you make dua for him in private? Why didn't you make dua? That, oh Allah, I heard that man's marriage is on the rocks, you make it easy for him. Oh Allah, I've heard that that man is in serious financial trouble, you make it easy for him. Why go to someone else, make the inference, and then make the dua? That is ghibat by insinuation, and it's no less evil than direct ghibat. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing he says, protect yourself against arguments, against disputes, against debates, even if you are right. Even if you are right, he explains and he says, one of two harms will accrue from a dispute. Either you're going to argue with a person who is ignorant and he's going to make you angry, or you are going to argue with a person who is intelligent, and if you overpower him, he's going to become jealous of you. Then he says, arguments and disputes, the more you get involved in it, the more it disturbs your peace of mind. The more it disturbs your peace of mind. So as long as it's not absolutely necessary, try and walk away from an argument. Again, I give you the reference of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. People would come to him and say that you are being accused, your reputation is being tarnished. Why is it that you keep quiet? And in poetry he used to say, إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ, that as soon as I respond, I'm going to open up the doors of fitna. My response will provoke a counter-response, and then it will be a never-ending vicious cycle. One day he so beautifully said, in the form of poetry, he says, قُلْ بِمَا شِئْتَ فِي مَسَبَّةِ عِرْضِي, say whatever you want to say about me. فَسُكُوتِ عَنِ اللَّئِيمِ جَوَابُ, my answer to such wretched people who want to tarnish my reputation is to keep quiet. مَا أَنَا عَادِمُ الْجَوَابِ وَلَكِنْ, it's not that I don't have the capacity to answer. مَا مِنَ الْأُسْتِ أَيْ يُجِيبَ الْكِلَابُ, it's not necessary for a lion to roar every time the dog barks. It's not necessary for a lion to roar every time the dog barks. So there's a famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you walk away from an argument and you are wrong, Allah will grant you a house on the periphery, on the outskirts of Jannah. And if you are right and you walk away, Allah will grant you a house in the middle of Jannah. The dilemma comes in is we always feel that no, this is that one instance where I need to make a point. This is a one instance where I need to fight for my right. It may be so, but take mashwara, take some counsel. Because in most instances, getting further involved in a dispute or in an argument will only disturb your own peace of mind and will only result in further complications. Then going further, so that was the fourth. The fifth, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, do not use your tongue to praise yourself. He says, you find many such people, they will always narrate incidents in a manner where they highlight their own contribution, even though they may then subsequently try and camouflage it and tone it down. One scholar was asked, Masidqul Qabih, what is that which is true yet it is detested? It's truth but it's detested. He said, Thana'ul Mar'i ala nafsi, for a man to praise himself. What you may be saying is true, but it is detested nonetheless. Because why do you want to praise yourself? Ultimately, all praises are only due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that's the fifth thing. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that protect your tongue against usage where you praise yourself. You get those, you know, ana, everything. I, me, I did this, I contributed. You know, it's not out of pride, it's not out of pride, but I think I need to mention this. The sixth thing Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, that do not utilize your tongue to curse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent as a Nabi who cursed. He was sent as a mercy unto mankind. Those who were the most vicious against him, the most oppressive against him, even they were not the victims of any cursing from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, listen, your greatest enemy is Iblis. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah won't ask you, why didn't you curse Iblis? Why didn't you curse Iblis? That's not what a believer does. The seventh thing he says, protect your tongue against bad dua, making dua against others. And he narrates an incident. He says, one day many people were sitting in a congregation and they were talking about Hajjaj. Now Hajjaj was a tyrant who had killed Sahaba, and they were supplicating against him excessively. So one scholar told him, listen, Allah will take retribution from Hajjaj for what he did, But don't think Allah won't take retribution for you in the way you are being excessive with your tongue against Hajjaj. At times, an oppressor can become the oppressed when people are excessive in cursing, in talking bad, in supplicating against that person. Because that oppression ultimately can outweigh. And if you do not, if you desist, that person will account for the wrong that he or she did. But in the end of the day, it leaves nothing from you. And finally, the eighth that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi talks about, he says, protect your tongue against excessive joking and jesting. It might be nice. People like such a person at a function around the braai stand. You know, he's the one who cracks the jokes. He's the one who lightens the mood. But he says, ultimately, in order to maintain that reputation as a person who's always joking, you are going to offend someone. Or you're going to end up lying or exaggerating. Or the minimum harm is people won't take you seriously. You'll be known as the class clown, or the clown of the congregation, or the clown of the town. Your only value to your peers and to your contemporaries will be your ability to make them laugh, will be your ability to crack a joke. Humor has its place, but do not be excessive. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, protect your tongue against these 8 things and you would have disciplined your tongue. Do not lie. Do not break a promise or make a commitment that you cannot keep. Do not commit ghibat. Do not backbite and slander. Do not argue. Do not praise yourself. Do not curse other people. Do not supplicate against others. And protect yourself against excessive joking. In conclusion, the hadith which I mentioned right in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, أَكْثَرُ خَطَايَا إِبْنُ آدَمْ فِي لِسَانِهِ. The majority of the sins of the son of Adam emanate from the misuse of the tongue. The majority of the sins. That's why one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the path to salvation? The Nabi of Allah said, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. Control your tongue. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the difference between the success and the failure of a man lies between his jaws. Your tongue can determine whether you will be successful or whether you will fail, both in this world as well as in the year after. I leave you with 2 thoughts in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi of Allah says, رحم الله عبدا. May Allah have mercy on that man. تَكَلَّمَ فَغَنِمَ أَوْ سَكَتَ فَسَلِمَ. When he speaks, he benefits and people benefits. And when he keeps quiet, it is for his own safety and for the safety of others. And the last hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us now a prescription that hold steadfast onto this and you'll be able to control your tongue. عَلَيْكَ بِطُولِ الصَّمْتِ. The Nabi of Allah says, learn to keep quiet for lengthy periods of time. Learn to keep quiet for lengthy periods of time. Why? It helps you to keep the devil at bay, and it also will assist you in the matters of this world as well as in the matters of the year after. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله خير الصلاة خير الصلاة خير الفلاح خير الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله العليم الخبير بكل قول وفعل صغير وكبير أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابه وأتباعه أما بعد فيا معشر الإخوان اعلموا أن من آداب المعاشرة الإسلامية تهذيب الأخلاق كي تعيشوا بالاتفاق فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سباب المؤمن فسوق وقتاله كفر وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الكذب ينقص الرزق وقال أيضا أتدرون ما الغيبة قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم قال ذكر أحدكم أخاه بما يكره وقال أيضا من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه وقال أيضا لا تماري أخاك ولا تمازح ولا تعده موعدا فتخلفه وقال أيضا أنا وأتقياء أمتي براء من التكلف أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غدا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، واغفر اللهم لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ويوم يحشر أعداء الله إلى النار فهم يوزعون، حتى إذا ما جاءوها شهد عليهم سمعهم وأبصارهم وجلودهم، شهد عليهم سمعهم وأبصارهم وجلودهم بما كانوا يعملون. وقالوا لجلودهم لما شهدتم علينا؟ قالوا أنطقنا الله الذي أنطق كل شيء وهو خلقكم أول مرة وإليه ترجعون. وما كنتم تستترون أن يشهد عليكم سمعكم وأبصاركم وجلودكم، ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وما كنتم تستترون أن يشهد عليكم سمعكم ولا أبصاركم ولا جلودكم ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون وذلكم ظنكم الذي ظننتم بربكم أرداكم فأصبحتم من الخاسرين فإن يصبروا فالنار مثوى لهم وإن يستعتبوا فما هم من المعتبين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأشرف الأنبياء المرسلين سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومحسننا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم يا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم ارزقنا رزقا حلالا طيبا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم لا سهل لا إلا ما جعلته سهلا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.